Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Hey, this is Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. We are so glad you've joined us. Well, this weekend, across every continent and in thousands of languages, millions of people will join together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of our faith. But friends, it doesn't stop there. Not only was Christ resurrected, but he is still alive. So let's jump right in with Pastor Rick for the first part of this powerful message, how Jesus revitalizes your life.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is without a doubt the single most important event in history. I say that without any fear of contradiction because every other event in history is dated by its relationship to the resurrection. AD or BC. Everything else is dated by this event. Even people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, every day of their life, use Jesus Christ as a reference point for their clocks, their calendars, and their schedules, because it's all dated according to this event. Easter proved that Jesus Christ was who he claimed to be. He said, "I'm the Son of God. I'm the way to heaven. And to prove it, I'm going to let them put me to death. I'm going to die on the cross for everyone's sins. 3 days later, I will come back to life." And that's exactly what he did. If there had been no Easter, no resurrection, there would be no forgiveness for your sins. There would be no hope of heaven. There would be no purpose in living. It is the most important event. Now, it's interesting and ironic that when Jesus Christ was crucified and died on the cross, his followers fell apart. They just scattered to the winds. They were devastated. In fact, it wasn't supposed to happen that way. In their mind, Jesus Christ was going to set up a literal kingdom here on earth, a theocracy, and ruin the Roman Empire. And all of a sudden, he's being killed between two thieves on a cross. And they're going, "What's happening? Did we miss this? Did we mess it up?" And when Jesus Christ was arrested, all of his followers, they were called disciples, ran away. They fled like cowards. Some of them even denied that they knew him. And they all just scattered to the winds. And so for several days until Jesus rose again, these guys were bewildered. They were discouraged. They were defeated. They were disillusioned. They were demoralized. They were defeated. They were depressed. In a word, they were running on empty. Now, 3 days later, on Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ comes back to life. And that night, Easter Sunday evening, late in the evening, he goes to meet with his followers, the disciples. And what happens in that room so forever changes them that the transformation is unbelievable. And those who were once cowards are now full of courage. And those who were once empty are now empowered. And those who were once defeated and discouraged and demoralized are now daring. They are full of boldness. They are afraid of nothing and no one. They're ready to take on the Roman Empire and the entire world. And they have ultimate confidence. They're full of joy. And they're not even the same people that they were 3 days earlier. They are incredibly empowered. What happened? What changed them? How did Jesus refill their empty tank when they were running on empty? Now, we're going to start a series this week that I'm calling When You're Running on Empty. And I want to begin with just a little survey. How many of you, when you're driving, never let your gas tank get below half empty? Anybody here? All right. There are a few people here. God bless you, compulsive people. Just kidding. How many of you fill up when you get 3/4 empty? You never let it go beyond a quarter left. Can I see your hands? All right. How many of you see how far you can go after the little light goes on? Yeah, okay. How many of you think E means enough to keep going? All right. Okay, I expect the same hands to go up. How many of you have ever, in your lifetime, run out of gas? Can I see your hands? You're not very bright, are you? Friday, I ran out of gas. And the embarrassing thing about it is Kay was with me when I ran out of gas. Fortunately, I was at the top of the hill in La Paz, so I coasted all the way down the hill into the gas station. Now, I got to thinking, I was going to do this series on when you're running on empty, I've just run out of gas, and I thought, what are all the reasons that I have run out of gas in my lifetime? And I decided I would make a list. So while Kay is pushing the car into the gas station, I made a list of the 10 reasons we run out of gas. Next weekend, I'm going to share those with you in part 2, because I think you will be amazed at how much they parallel when we're running on empty emotionally, and running on empty financially, and running on empty relationally, and running on empty physically and spiritually. But today, because it's Easter, I want us to look at how Jesus refills our tank, how he revitalizes us, how he re-energizes us when we're running on empty. Now, the story of what Jesus did with his followers on Easter is recorded in John chapter 20 in the Bible. Let me read a little bit of it to you. Now, this is happening. This is Easter night. On the evening of that first day of the week, see, it's Sunday, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the authorities. And Jesus came and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands, you know, where he had the nail prints, and his side, where the centurion speared him in the side when he was on the cross. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you." This is the second time. "As my Father has sent me, I'm now sending you." And with that, he breathed on him and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven." Now go on down to verse 29. It says, "Then Jesus tells Thomas, 'Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe.'" Now, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, I don't know what kind of week you've had, and I don't know what kind of month you had, or what kind of year you've had, or what kind of life you've had. But if you've ever felt like you were running on empty, you're just out of gas. And you think, "I don't know that I can go on. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm at my wit's end. I feel like I'm going to resign from the human race." If you've ever felt frustrated, fatigued, fearful, or just weary, sick and tired of being sick and tired, you picked a good Sunday to come to church. Because I've got good news for you. The 7 things that Jesus did with his disciples that turned them from cowards into confident people are the 7 things he wants to do in your life this Easter. Now, if you've got your message notes, take them out. And there are 7 things that he did. And the first thing that Jesus does when he wants to refill your tank, when you're running on empty, is first, he meets you where you are. He meets you where you are. The disciples were scared to death. They're afraid. They're hiding in a room with the doors locked. And when you're running on empty, Jesus doesn't wait for you to come to him. He comes to you. He takes initiative. In fact, it says here in verse 19, there on your outline, "It was late that Sunday evening. The disciples were gathered together behind locked doors because they were afraid of the authorities. Then Jesus came and stood among them." Point is, Jesus went to them. Now notice, it's late. It's late in the evening. Have you ever been so tired but so upset you couldn't get sleep? This is what's happening here with these guys. They've had a roller coaster week, emotional highs and lows, and they've gone through the arrest and the trial and the crucifixion and the death and the burial of their leader, Jesus Christ. And these guys are emotionally spent. They're drained, but they can't get to sleep. And it's late in the evening, and most of them probably hadn't slept for days. And then it says they were hiding. Why? Vince Lombardi once said, fatigue makes cowards of all of us. And it does. And these guys are probably second-guessing themselves. Were we wrong? Is Jesus not who he claimed to be? Isn't he not really God? Were we deluded? What are we going to do now? They're going to get us. They're second-guessing themselves. It says they were locked behind doors. Locks are put on doors to keep people out. But the amazing thing is that locks also keep us locked inside. I wonder who you've locked out of your life. Some of you have locked God out of your life. You see, when you put a lock on your life, you not only lock people out, you lock yourself in. And fear creates a self-imposed prison. Jesus says, I want to release you from your fears. Why? It says they were locked because they were afraid. It's fear that locks us in. Now, suddenly Jesus shows up among them. And when he first showed up in the room, they didn't recognize him. Why? They weren't expecting him. They weren't aware. Now, this is very common. In fact, it happens in your life all the time. God shows up in your life all the time and you don't even know it. He does. He shows up in your life all the time in circumstances and situations and you don't even recognize it because you're not looking for him. Now, right now you may feel God's a million miles away. You may feel that he's on some distant planet. But the fact is, he's closer than you realize. He's here and he's near and he wants to help you tonight. Now, the second thing he does is he not only shows up where you are, he gives you encouragement. Notice the very first thing that Jesus says to them in verse 19. Then Jesus said, peace be with you. Now, I love this because he says, calm down, you guys. Chill out. Take a deep breath. Relax. It's going to be okay. I got it under control. And the very first thing Jesus says to these guys who are defeated, demoralized, depressed, discouraged, running on empty, he says, peace be unto you. It's okay. I got it handled. Now, I love this because what he didn't say. Jesus could have walked into the room and the first thing he said to his followers is, why'd you guys leave me? Why did you abandon me? Where were you when I needed you most? Why didn't you show up? You were with me for 3 years and then when I go through tough times, you flake out. He didn't criticize them. He didn't rebuke them. He didn't scold them. He didn't put them down. He didn't correct them or reprimand them. What's the first thing Jesus does when you're running on empty? He encourages you. Peace be unto you. Now, why did he do that? Because he understood their confusion. Now, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this right now. Nobody understands how you feel as much as Jesus Christ does. God understands how you feel more than you understand how you feel. You know, I'm a guy. I don't always know why I feel. Kay will ask me, hey, you know, what do you feel? I don't know. You know, as a guy, men don't really know what we're feeling. We just feel it. Now, if you're a woman, you could take 35 minutes to explain how you feel. But as a guy, I don't know what I'm feeling or why I'm feeling it. I just feel it. And the point is that God understands you, whether you're a man or a woman, exactly how you feel so he can relate to that at that moment. And he knew these guys were confused. Confusion is a hallmark of running on empty. Now, because he understands exactly how you feel, there's nothing you can't talk to God about. There's nothing too big. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too insignificant. There's nothing too frivolous that you can't talk to God about because he understands everything you're feeling at every moment of your life. So go ahead and talk to him about it. Unload yourself and receive encouragement from him. The Bible says this. Look at the next verse. Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. Now, let me stop there. He says you got two alternatives in life. You can pray or you can panic. You can worry or you can worship. Now, if you don't pray, you're going to panic. If you don't worship, you're going to worry. And he says, I'm giving you an opportunity. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And he says, and God's peace, which is so great that we cannot understand it will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I can tell you from personal experience, so many times in my life, I should be stressed out, and I'm just not. There are so many times there's conflict around me, crisis around me, criticism around me, pressure, deadlines, and I'm just not stressed out by it. Why? Because I'm unstressable? No, because I talk to God about it. And I say, hey, God, help me with this. Lord, I need your help with that. And when I pray, I don't panic. And so many times in my life, I've thought, you know, I have every reason right now to be totally stressed out, but I'm just not. It is a peace that is beyond my understanding. And it comes from God when God says, bring it to me and I'll take it. He meets you where you are, and then he gives you encouragement. Now, I have no doubt some of you came in here tonight stressed out. So there's no reason why you should hold on to it. Let's just let it go to God. I don't care if it's big or little. Let's pray about it. What's stressing you out? Worry? Kids? Work? Finances? Health? A conflict? Whatever's got you running on empty. Why don't you give it to God right now? Let's just pause and give it to God. Tom? Pastor Tom, come up here and lead us in prayer. Would you bow your heads right now? And let's just give God the worries that we're holding on to.
Let's pray. You might just say to God, God, here it is. Here's what's stressing me. In your family or at work or in your personal life, here it is. And just tell him, God, I really need your encouragement right now. Jesus, give me your peace. Give me your comfort. Give me your strength. Help me to know that I do not have to face this alone as I trust in you. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. When you're running on empty, the first thing he does, he comes and meets you on your territory, where you are, and then the first thing he does is he encourages you. He doesn't put you down for feeling bad. He says, let me help you. Now, here's number three. He shows you his love. That's the third thing he does when you're running on empty. This is what he did with his followers that very first Easter. The Bible says this. As he spoke, Jesus held out his hands for them to see. In other words, look at the nail prints in my hands where I was crucified. And he showed them his side. Look at where I was stabbed, speared by the centurion when I was hanging on the cross. And they were filled with joy when they saw their Lord. Now, what is Jesus doing? He said, look, guys, look at this. He's first validating his identity. He said, it's me. Guys, it's me. See the nail prints here? You're not looking at a ghost. You're not looking at a vision. You're not having an illusion. You're not dreaming. Touch me, guys. It's really me. This is me. I'm back. So he's identifying himself. He's saying, it really is me. But the second thing he's doing is he's showing how much he loves you. He's saying, I love you this much. You see, you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Did you know that he died on the cross for you? Not just for the whole world, for all the sins of the world. He died for you. And if there had been nobody else living on earth, he would have still come to earth and died for you so your sins could be paid for, so you could go to heaven, because heaven's perfect and you're not, and neither am I. And so he did it for you. The greatest act of love ever done in your behalf was not done by your parents. It was not done by your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or anybody else. The greatest thing that's ever been done in love for you is when Jesus died for you on the cross. And he says, look at this. See these nail prints? This is for you. And when Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross, he's saying, I love you. I love you this much. Look at this. This much is how much I love you. I love you so much, it hurts. I love you so much, I'd rather die than live without you. He was showing his love. No one will ever love you like Jesus does. No man will ever love you. No woman will ever love you the way Jesus Christ does. Look at the next verse there in your outline. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now, how does that help me when I'm feeling stressed out? When I feel overwhelmed? When I feel at the end of my rope? When I'm running on empty? Well, I'll tell you how it helps. When you really feel unconditionally loved by God, you relax. The reason you overwork, the reason you push so hard, the reason you drive yourself is you don't feel loved. Insecurity and the fear of failure and the feeling of I have to prove myself is what drives you to overwork. And when you work, and you push, and you're running on empty when you don't have anything left to give, it's because you want to say to the world, hey, everybody, I'm okay, I'm valuable, I'm worthwhile, I'm lovable, I'm successful. It is driven by your insecurity. Now, when you really feel totally loved by God, and most people have never felt that. They've heard it, yeah, I know God loves me. But they've never experienced the unconditional love of God. When you experience it, all of a sudden, you don't care what other people think anymore. If God loves me and I like me, what's your problem? In other words, I'm not a slave to your expectations anymore. I'm not driven by the approval of others, and I don't have to prove anything. And when you feel totally loved by God, it turns off the pressure valve in your life, and you stop trying to perform. Anything you do is because you're called to do it. You're not driven to do it. That is what God says I want to do. I bring you my love.
What a special message from Pastor Rick. And now let's hear how lives are changing through Daily Hope. Here's Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, my prayer is that Daily Hope will bring hope to you, the kind of hope that we find in the Bible, and that it will bring it not only to you, but to the people that you come in contact with every day. You know, I love getting letters from you, and let me just read you one that came in from a guy named Bill. He says, Dear Pastor Rick, your podcasts and your study materials have helped me tremendously this past year. A year ago, my wife Linda was told that her cancer had returned, and after surgeries were performed to remove the cancer, it was about that time that I started to listen to you teach on Daily Hope, and I've been inspired ever since. This past October, Linda succumbed to sarcoma after a 20-month fight. And the time between finding out that the cancer had returned until the time that she passed away was so difficult for me, and yet your podcast gave me hope in the future and in the wisdom of God on how to care for Linda in her final months. You know, Pastor Rick, since her death, the podcasts have been helping me understand where God is leading me now. I now have the mindset that I'm prepared for what God is asking me to do instead of just praying for a path. He is guiding me. So now you know how you can pray for me. Yours in Christ, Bill. You know, Bill, I am so sorry for your loss, and I'm grieving with you. God is with you, Bill, but I want you to know that you are right, that God does have a good plan for your life, even in the middle of all this pain and this grief and this heartache. And I'm encouraged that Daily Hope is helping you during this difficult time. I want you to know I'm going to be praying for you as you seek the path that God has for you next.
Hey, maybe right now you're in a tough place and you really need hope. So if so, I would encourage you to sign up for the free Daily Hope devotional, where you're going to be encouraged by God's word every day. It's easy. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up today. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.